This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah, salatu salam ala Rasulillah. All praises to Allah. We seek His guidance and His forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the whispering of our desires. Welcome everybody to Friday Night Lights. Today we'll be talking about the topic of mistakes, how to overcome them ourselves when we commit them, and how to deal with others when they commit them. All under the umbrella of the reality of the human experience, which is that we all make mistakes. Every single human being is fallible. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that. He says, "Kullu bani Adam khatta' wa khayrul khata'in at-tawwabun." He said that every son of Adam is a sinner, and the best of those who sin are those who repent. And so we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the nature of overcoming sins and how we can better ourselves and how we can better each other. And we'll be, just to kind of give like a framework of how we'll be discussing this tonight, we'll be going from one major theme to another, one topic to another. And those topics are, inshallah ta'ala, we'll be talking about mistakes themselves, the nature of them, as well as causes of mistakes. And then we'll be speaking about the one who makes a mistake and their levels, dealing with the person who makes a mistake and the different levels of people who make mistakes, because they're not all the same. And then we will talk about when a person makes a mistake themselves and the different issues that they will resolve around that, as well as when others make a mistake. So when you make a mistake yourself, what to rectify, how to rectify, as well as when others make a mistake, how to engage. And then inshallah ta'ala we'll conclude with means of change, means of rectification and means of correction, inshallah ta'ala. And of course we have our esteemed panel with us, Sheikh Waleed and Sheikh Kamal. Welcome, Mashaykh.
You're welcome. Thank you. JazakAllah khair. I would like to start by saying one of the things that caught my attention in a very early time as I was reading Quran, the documentation of the mistakes of great men, like prophets, messengers, like Adam. The beginning of humans start with Adam. And Quran always mentioned the story of Adam and mentioned the mistakes that happened from Adam. And I think that shows you that the nature of human beings, it's natural, it's expected that we will do mistakes. We will fall into mistakes. As if Allah telling us, don't worry, if your father Adam had a mistake, Eve had did a mistake, you know, his children, you know, prophets, a messenger. So even Nuh, Allah documented the mistake that he did, you know, and other prophets as well, when you read in the Quran without going into the details. And also on the top of that, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that in many several verses, not one, not two, not three, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will mention things that done by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it was not correct. And he will correct him. And documenting this in the Quran and revealing verses in the Quran, I ask myself, why? You know, if you have one or two mistakes out of all your life, why would be mentioned these mistakes? For you to realize that even no matter how good you are, how high level you are, you still can make a mistake. Don't let your mistakes stop you from growing, stop you from moving forward. You know, not only that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of the Sahaba as well documented some of the incident in the Quran where they made mistakes. وَمِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُرِيدُ الدُّنْيَا وَمِنْكُمْ مَنْ Some of you, their intention was about the worldly reward, not for the Akhirah. Allahu Akbar. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَرْفَعُوا أَصْوَاتَكُمْ فَوْقَ صَوْتِ النَّبِيِّ Don't raise your voice over the Prophet. And while you are talking. And one of the most amazing one, the story of Jumu'ah. وَإِذَا رَأَوْا تِجَارَةً أَوْ لَهْوًا انْفَضُّوا إِلَيْهَا وَتَرَكُوكَ قَائِمًا The Prophet ﷺ gave khutbah to Jumu'ah, and a caravan came with food, and the Sahaba left the Prophet giving the speech. He talking to them. They left him and they went outside to see what this caravan has. I couldn't comprehend that. Ibn Kathir, by the way, said, this incident took place before Khutbatul Jumu'ah was wajib to listen to. In the beginning of Islam, he said Khutbatul Jumu'ah was wajib, and it might even be like Al-Eid after Salah. But after this incident, the rule changed. Allah, I don't know about how authentic that is, but Ibn Kathir rahimahullah mentioned something like that. But the point, even if it is, just leaving the Prophet giving khutbah, just to go to see what's the food and the caravan has, that's just, I can't comprehend that. But in, again, is to show that we are humans and listen to what Allah says. And that's a good starting point. قَالَ يَا عِبَادِي إِنَّكُمْ تُخْطُؤُونَ بِالْلَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ Ya Allah, my servants, you make mistakes days and nights. يعني Allahu Akbar. In the daytime and in the night, every day, every night. And I forgive all the sins. So seek my forgiveness. And I will. So that's a very important, because you will never be perfect. And I hope that's something that if this is the case, we make mistakes, that make this subject so important. Because that's something we all do. So we need to learn how to deal with it. And I hope that's enough reason for us to focus on that and to dig deep into it.
JazakAllah khair, Sheikh. So we're going to, we got a lot to cover, inshallah ta'ala, tonight. So we're going to jump right into the. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. So the first point, inshallah ta'ala, is we want to talk about the nature of mistakes themselves. And I'll actually open up with Sheikh Kamal if. Okay. So. Okay, so then I'll start, inshallah ta'ala, with the first point with regards to mistakes in themselves. Sheikh Waleed was talking about how every human being makes mistakes. But there's a difference between a mistake which is virtuous in the sense that a person falls into it. That's the natural disposition that we want to be in a position of. We want to be in a situation where when we make mistakes, it is because of a lapse. It is because of a mistake in judgment. It is not something that is premeditated. When it becomes something that is premeditated, that is problematic. When a person is planning out their sins, when a person is intending to fall into a particular sin, like the brothers of Yusuf, alayhi salam, the brothers of Joseph who said, kill Yusuf or cast him in the land and you will be after that a righteous people. There's a difference between that person who is planning on committing a mistake, someone who is premeditating it, and someone who it is a moment of weakness. It is a lapse in judgment. It is a mistake that they make because of a desire that appeared. Okay, and so we want to be in a position where we are, the mistakes that we make are as in, as innocent as possible, where a person is able to dust themselves off, repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and move forward. It's not about, and then if a person is repentant to Allah, and we'll talk about repentance later, but if a person is committed, inshallah ta'ala, to benefiting themselves, then it's not about how many times a person falls, because we are human, we will make mistakes, but rather it's about how many times a person can get back up, inshallah ta'ala, and not be burdened by the mistake that they make, and not be overwhelmed by the mistake they made, and not despair from the mercy of Allah because of the mistake that they made, rather to remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives all sins, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy over us is overwhelming.
All right, so I really like this point. The like the purpose behind identifying a mistake isn't just for the sake of the mistake itself, just for knowing what it is. But like any time when you find out or you identify a flaw that you have in yourself or your brother or your sister, what's the purpose behind it? It's not really about the flaw itself. It's so that you can correct it. Right, and you can learn from it, you can avoid it in the future. That's the whole point. And it's not about the idea that I caught you making a mistake. You know, some people love that. I remember in our university, there were these two brothers kind of competing for which one of them is more religious. And one of them used to give a lot of dawah to girls, you know what I'm saying? I could just sit and give dawah to girls. And one of them said, next time I catch him with a girl, I'm gonna embarrass him. Habibi. So the third guy told him, are you doing it for Allah Azza wa Jal, or you just want to catch him in the act? Catch him in a weak position, so then you have the upper hand, then you become the religious guy. So, and when you identify the mistake, the whole point is that you fix it. I remember this one guy was telling me, give me advice. I barely know him. He's like, give me advice. I love people to give me advice, and I like anyone to give me advice. I said, okay, inshallah, if I think of something, I'll tell you. 2 minutes later, did you think of anything? Said, Yahi, again, I barely know you, but I promise you if I recognize anything, I'll let you know. Then he's like, okay, think of something. And then I remembered something. I remembered something that he does all the time. I said, you know what? I just thought of something. He's like, yes. I said, you always interrupt people. It's unbelievable. He said, yes, wallahi, this is a true story. He said, yes, I know that. Give me something else. So is it like just identifying it, or is it like so we can fix it? So that's one point.
Yeah. See, the first point, in my opinion, it's important. This point is very important, which is knowing the nature of mistakes. I found a lot of people don't want to know their mistakes. They actually don't want to face, don't admit to themselves. So one of the most important things, you have to identify what are my problems, what are my mistakes, where is my weakness. Sometimes we don't. We just try to, you know, turn our face the other direction. Okay? Sometimes people don't like to be told about their mistakes. Identifying what is wrong, it is important, because sometimes maybe it's not a mistake. Maybe it's not wrong. Okay? Maybe you just misunderstanding. Maybe you think it's wrong and it's not. So as long as you identify what it is. Like, for example, one brother told me, Sheikh, I am sinful. I'm going straight to hell. I'm madri'ish. I said, what you've been doing, yani, astaghfirullah, that you think they're going to go straight to hell? He said to me, Sheikh, you know, I look at haram, and I'm looking at haram all the time. I look at things which is forbidden and not lawful for me. And I thought, like, he's like addicted to pornography, addicted to something like major like that, you know, or something like sin like that. Then he said, no, you know, I go to school and I look at the teacher. I said, do you look at the teachers with desire? He said, no. So I said, the ulama, rahimahullah, talked about looking at women in sales and in buying and, you know, for a need like this, okay? And they say, if this is the case, you're allowed to look as long as there's no desire. So sometimes identifying it can make it easy for you to know if it's wrong or not. Sometimes people don't like to be told about their mistake, especially individual or groups. Yani some da'wah group, organizations, when you tell them, by the way, this practice is not correct, they get so angry. And I'll tell you, if you have a wound and you want to fix it, we don't have Dr. Musa with us tonight. He is a wound specialist. The first thing to do what? I had a cut today. The first thing, I have to touch that wound to clean it. If you don't face your mistakes, that wound will never be cleaned, will stay open. You have to learn how to do that as individual, as a group.
The Sheikh, about the notion of nasiha, like that person.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but we don't put the mask, we're keeping the far distance, okay? But I'm sorry, everybody else need to put their mask on, okay? Unless you like very far by yourself over there, for example, you know, that's fine. But if you're going to be around people, you have to put your mask on.
I was just going to say about the notion of nasiha, that even that question doesn't really exist anymore. So even though he himself was asking, there was a culture of people asking each other, please give me advice. To some degree, people, give me advice. Like, if you see something wrong, whether they accept it or not is a different story. That's different levels. But now we don't have a culture of give me advice. Now we have a culture of I'm authentically myself. Take me as I am, or what have you, right? Mm. So you need it's a beautiful quality to have, where you're asking people to give you advice. And the notion that Sheikh Uri just mentioned reminded me actually of a story Sheikh Muhammad al-Shanawi tells of, or he wrote once about that notion of not knowing about your mistakes, or not thinking something is a mistake and it isn't a mistake. He was teaching some kids, and these are like maybe 10 years old or 9 years old girls or what have you. And one girl, she might have even been younger than that, 7 years old. And she wrote a note to him, and she said, you know, what should a person do when they're viewing something that is haram, but they love it so much? And the Sheikh's heart just completely sunk. And he's like, this girl's 8 years old. Don't tell me she's watching pornography and she's addicted or something. And then she said, I love Pepe the pig. She thought it was haram because it's a pig. So he's like, alhamdulillah, it's a cartoon. So anyway, so the notion of asking people of knowledge with regards to what you perceive to be a mistake, that is, the Prophet ﷺ said, that is the cure for ignorance, it's to ask.
Another point with regard to the mistake, mistakes are levels, and this is very important to understand that. Some mistakes are kufr, take you out of the fold of Islam. By the way, being Muslim, it doesn't mean you stay Muslim all the time. You can't make things take you out of the fold of Islam. You know, like to do any act of worship to other than Allah. You know, there are certain things can take the person out of the fold of Islam. Also, knowing, is the mistake in that severe level? Is it a minor shirk? A minor form of association with Allah? Which it doesn't take you out of the Islam, but it is so severe of a sin. Okay? Number three. It is can be something like major sins. Like what major sin in Islam? You have to understand the nature of the sin. Is it a major sin? Because being bad to your parents is not equal to a sin which is, for example, it's minor sin. Like for example, adultery is not like watching something bad on TV. Backbite is a sin, but it's not like someone who harm his mother or his neighbor or kill someone. Sins are levels. So there is a major, there is minor. Okay? Also, sins, mistakes can be levels. There is a mistake that it is will harm you, but there is mistakes that will harm you and others. Okay? Mistakes, there is a difference between a mistake done by an individual and done collectively. So if an organization making a mistake, and a group of Dao, for example, making a mistake, insist on a mistake, or a whole movement around a certain mistake, cannot be compared to an individual who making a mistake. That's a big difference between the two. You know, so knowing the nature of that. Also, is this mistakes just an incidental, or something happened all the time? That's another thing to look at. Is this sin or this mistake related to a specific reason or not? That's why when I said earlier, it's so important to identify your mistake. I'm part of it to do all this homework. What I mean by that, when I say, is it related to a specific reason or it is something, you know, embedded in you? You know, there is players. A guy who liked to flirt or a girl liked to flirt. It just, that's their nature. But there is someone, no, he is attached to a specific person. He only does this with a specific person, but not all the time. There is a difference between the two cases. A big difference. So there is someone, for example, angry by nature. And there is someone angry only at one time, at certain reasons. So you have to identify all these things as your process of identifying the mistakes. The more you will be able to identify them, the more you will be able to treat it and to understand it and to get rid of it.
So this obviously requires a lot of introspection and a lot of self-awareness, a lot of asking yourself and sitting with yourself and self-analysis. And so this is a theme that you're going to see, inshallah ta'ala, throughout the topic of mistakes. One of the interesting things with regards to what's considered to be a mistake and what isn't is, when we're talking about types, is one that is a mistake in the religion. And then you have these cultural aspects that are considered to be appropriate or inappropriate. And does it reach the level of being a mistake or the level of becoming a sin? Because it is something that is so foreign to culture. And one of the things that struck me, for example, sometimes when you'll travel to a different culture, you go to a different culture, you'll see things or behavior that is shocking to you or different because it's something that's foreign to you. So for me, when I went to Sweden, everywhere there, people ride bicycles. Like 70% or 75% of the people there, they're all on bicycles. And so it was maybe my first time seeing like groups of hijabis just transporting themselves on bicycles.
And the culture that I come from, particularly Sudan, I've never ever heard, I've never even heard of a girl on a bicycle, ever. And so it was shocking to me. And I remember asking the brothers there. I mean,
Sudan, even here in the Muslim community, it's just not like something.
Oh, okay.
I remember when we had a bicycle group in the masjid for sisters. Oh my God, I got tons of emails and messages. Sheikh, how can you let sisters ride bicycle? What's going to happen to them ride bicycle? You know, they're not going to ride the tight yoga pants and go bicycles. You know,
so it was so foreign to me. And then I'm sitting there with the brothers there, and I'm like, do your sisters ride bicycles? And they're like, yeah, like, what are they supposed to do? Like, it was so natural to them. They were curious about my curiosity. They're like, what's the problem? Like, I was like, so it doesn't seem weird or anything? They're like, no, because they're all Swedish. They grew up in that. And so you can see, like, the shift in what is considered to be appropriate and what is considered to be, and that is, it can vary from culture to culture, and that's something that a person has to navigate and pay attention to as well.
Yeah, that's a really important point. I love how the scholar said that you have to be aware of that, and even though it may be halal or okay in your region, don't do it in that region. Yani, we're in Medina, and one of my friends, he's from Medina, he took me to this bakery, and then there's a woman in niqab, you know, like if you saw her in America, you'd be like, Allahumma barak, mashallah, this sister. She's in full niqab. He's like, stay away from them. Let's move away. I don't like the sister. She's one of those. I'm like, what? How did you see that? He's like, the kind of glitter that's on her. It's a black abaya. But there's the kind of like beads and stuff, which is very normal here, right? He's like, you know, the way she's dressed, that's not a good sister. Very flirty and flirtatious. Like, this is like an imam in America. What are you talking about? Anyways, but it's good to be aware of these things. And if a certain way of dressing in this region means, you know, you're a bad person or has a different meaning, then avoid it, even though it's in and of itself not haram, but avoid it in that case.
Yeah. I think we go to the next one, sure. Which is, I think that because we start already explaining that, what are the reasons behind why mistakes happen? Okay.
Yeah, and one of the greatest causes of mistakes to happen is shaytan. Shaytan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوَ فَاتَّخِذُهُ عَدُوَ. Shaytan is for you an enemy. So take him as an enemy. And the description of shaytan in the Quran is someone who's declared war. لَقْعُدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. I will sit for them on your straight path. وَلَيَعْتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ. He says, and he's drawing out a battle plan for this creation that he hates so much. I will sit for them on your straight path, and while that person is lollygagging and walking down and thinking that everything's okay, I will come to them from in front of them and from behind them and from the right of them and from the left of them, and you will not find that most of them are thankful. Shaytan is literally waiting outside a person's house. The Prophet ﷺ says that when a person comes out of their house and they say, Bismillah, tawakkaltu ala Allah, la hawla wala quwwata illa billah. When a person makes that statement and they leave their house, it is said to that person that you have been guided and you have been protected and you have been sufficed with the naha anhu shaytan. And shaytan at that point is like deviates away from them or is diverted away from them. Like imagine you're leaving your house and there's somebody waiting to punch you in the face as soon as you leave. Like that's the scenario that we're in. And so being of the greatest things that a person can do to protect themselves is to pay attention to these remembrances, pay attention to these adhkar, that a person is protected from the attacks of shaytan. You know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as Salama said, that every time he would leave his house, he would make that dua and he would say, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika an adilla aw dhal aw zil aw zal aw ajhal aw adlim aw udlam aw ajhal aw yujhal alay. I seek refuge in you from oppressing and oppressing others and from slipping or being caused to slip or being ignorant or ignorance being done towards me. Like this is something that the Prophet ﷺ constantly say to be protected from mistakes. These are all descriptions of mistakes, and the Prophet ﷺ is asking for protection from these mistakes. We don't leave our houses much, but we go online and we stand on our pulpits and we make decisions and we make statements and we take positions about a million different things. So it's important that a person is constantly invoking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's protection from these things.
All right, so you know in psychology, things that will cause you to get into a certain activity or mistake or sin, they're known as triggers. And sometimes the triggers can be location, it could be a certain time period. Like, for example, a woman knows that she's very irritable around the time of her menses. So she'll be especially careful when that time comes, so that to avoid getting into that, into this type of mistake where they're hurting people with the tongue, with words, things like that. Or it could, you know, whatever it is, any other time for in the case of the woman. Or it could also be a place. Some people at night, that's when, I'll tell you something interesting. I was speaking to someone who is like an expert on dealing with pornography addiction and stuff. He says part of the job of the therapist here is to actually find out what triggers it. So he said it could be something that has nothing to do with the images at all. For example, someone has a very stressful job. So they come back, they need to relax. So they'll watch those images, and then when they have a release, they, you know, chemicals are released in the brain that relaxes them, and that's how they fall asleep. So he said, look, in that case, the way to cure it was to find out or just to remove or decrease the amount of stress at work, because that's what triggers all the other actions. So you can sometimes by yourself, you don't always need a therapist. Sometimes you can just analyze yourself and figure out, okay, this is what triggers that. Some people, if they stay alone, that happens. Some people are night people. I mean, and I'm using the term very loosely because I don't believe there's such a thing, but he is used to the night cycle. So the morning cycle is super grumpy. Fights with the family and everybody.
Why don't you believe it?
There's no such thing. It's just basically whatever cycle you get yourself accustomed to, you can switch from night person to morning person. I gave a khutbah about that, and there's a lot of research on that. And just before the research, I knew it was wrong, because there's no way Allah creates you a night person and then says, yalla, wake up early and pray Fajr. They say whatever you get your cycle, you get yourself used to, is what you become, and you can switch.
But some people, like when they wake up in the morning, I'm not a morning person in a sense. Yeah, I'm not in the best like mood. I don't want to talk. I don't want to, like, you know. So if I know that if I talk, I'll be rude. You know what? I know that about myself. I think that's the point. So avoid maybe the making decision, making this. Yeah. Speaking, by the way, about the location, I know many people that they told me one of the things that helped them to, for example, not to watch something wrong, they found that every time that they watch something or listen to something wrong, or they talk to someone in a wrong way, it is always in the night when they are by themselves. So I know somebody said, I move my laptop, if I sleep and next to me my cell phone or my laptop or my iPad, I always watching things which is not proper. I don't want to end my day with that. So what I did, I just moved that away. That's where mistakes come from that area, the time, the place. It could be college. I know one guy told me, Sheikh, I used to go to this college, and I switched from one school to another because my school was party school. Oh. It's just all the time. It's big fitna for me. I don't know.
Sheikh, the idea of removing the cause, yani, I met a guy in Ramadan the day before Eid, all right? The day before Eid, and he tells me that he's so addicted to looking at images on his phone. He says, tomorrow is Eid, and all Ramadan, I fasted one day only. Just one day. Because he ruined all the other days. And yani, I know, like, it's almost like kufr, like telling someone leave Islam if you tell them get rid of your phone. Because phones are like khalas now. It's like, you know, but wallahi, you're going to kill yourself here. You ruined your whole month. You're destroying your deen. Take that phone, get rid of it, get a flip phone. Just get removing the reason.
Or get like, for example, some people every time to go to Twitter and they see or watch the news. When you watch the news, you become angry. And when you become angry, you deal with the kids in a bad way. You know what? Don't watch the news. You know, if you go every time to Twitter, certain accounts, like I have a guy I used to listen to, and he like make my blood boil. Every time I see his post, it just make me angry. You know what? Delete.
Sheikh, is that why you were leaving me all these comments?
Yeah. So I know that's the reason. So why would I do that? Why would I make my... That's what caused it. And it's so important to be, you know, to identify that. I would say another incident of a brother, talk about, he told me, Sheikh, you know, and I'm trying to stop flirting with girls and stuff like that. Okay. Then I said, so where are you going? Who did you have lunch with? Oh, all girlfriends like he had, go lunch with them in the school. He, you know, go to IHOP together for dinner. He's right together. So if you're around that environment, you basically don't control yourself. And vice versa. You know what? Stay. That's the reason for this to happen. Sometimes one of the reasons for you to do the mistakes is because, or the sin or whatever, you know, it is because also you are single. You know, you might need to, you know, get married. You know, you need to get married. And as simple as that, to protect your deen and to find the basics to settle down. If you have the means and the age, the right age for that.
Shaykhna, isn't there a hadith where, or someone told me there's a hadith where the Prophet ﷺ said to not spend the night alone, is there?
Yes, in Nabi ﷺ naha anil wahda. He said, don't be alone, don't stay alone or sleep alone. Tab Sheikh Ammar, sometimes also how much friends and people around you influence you to make mistakes,
I mean, they or to fall? Your friends.
Can you give examples?
Yeah, let me just turn on my mic. Your friends can make it or break it. Al-mar'u ala dini khalili, a person is upon the religion of their friend. You know, they can inspire a person to righteousness, they can hold a person accountable, or they can obviously bring a person to the lowest of the lows. I had a good friend of mine, he became a good friend of mine, but the first time I met him, he was an 18-year-old kid who he came to the masjid for the first time, and he was wearing like a tank top, like not even like a t-shirt, just literally a tank top in the summer. I'm like, who is this guy? Is he even Muslim? He came into the masjid. He was like...
I'm sure that's New York.
It's very New York. Yeah, it's very New York. Like, who is this guy? But he ended up being from the community, like, even more than me. His father was from the community, rahimullah, like, born and bred. But anyway, it was his first time meeting him, and he asked me, he said, I have a question for you. Is it halal for me to join a fraternity? And fraternity, I'm thinking, like, all I know about fraternities in university is, you know, partying and kegs and all of that type of stuff. And I'm thinking, I asked him first, I said, why would you want to join a fraternity? Why would you want to join a fraternity? And he said, this fraternity that I'm thinking about joining, number one, they keep your grade point average at a particular level. You have to be at like a 3.7 or something like that your entire... Number two, the first semester, you're not allowed to talk to girls. All of the fraternity brothers, any one of them can check your phone at any point in time. If they find that you had a text message, that you text messaged a girl, it's a violation, a couple of violations, you get kicked out of the fraternity. You have to network and they'll get you a job at the end and this. And I'm thinking to myself, man, I wish the Muslim Student Association had this type of power over people. Could you imagine an MSA could sit there and grab a person's phone and be like, khalas, you know? Like, and I'm thinking, like, this is amazing. And he wants to join. He's going to have to rush and go through Hell Week and all of that to join this fraternity. But there's this incredible brotherhood that's going to be created, and there's going to be this incredible benefit. And I found that one of the greatest things that have helped me, and I've been corrected by friends before, very close friends, but the thing that made me able to accept their very strong criticism was that, number one, I knew that it was coming from a place of sincerity from them. They weren't doing it to exercise any ego over me. And number two, they had such rapport with me, like these individuals had done so much, had so much an investment with me, that honestly, like, I could take it from them. And I would respect what they had to say. And I could only respect what they had to say. But friendship is incredibly important. Befriending the right people is incredibly important. Yes.
Okay, good. Would you see people in the house can be the cause for people to make mistakes?
Oh, easily.
You know, and it's so known that there's a term for it. You know, parents tell their children here in America, they say, do as I say, not as I do. Which is, it's like admitting.
Terrible.
It's terrible, right? It's admitting that I'm not a good role model, so you just do as I say. But what's more effective on the child, what you say or what you do?
What you do.
Yeah, no doubt. So the role models, older brothers, older sisters, parents, and probably the worst one, may Allah protect us from this, is like the scholar, the da'iyah, when they make a mistake and it goes public, it's very, very damaging. It's very damaging because people are at varying degrees, and some people, you know, maybe they're beginners, they're just starting practicing their religion, or their iman is weak, and then they see someone that they used to look up to committing, you know, or making some kind of mistake, it destroys them. And some people, they're just at the edge, and that is enough for them to leave. There was, I remember this one of our friends, he married this girl. Her older sister just doesn't wear hijab, doesn't pray, and kind of strange. So one day she tells him the story of her sister. She said she used to go to this Islamic institution, and she used to learn and this. And then one sheikh, she just had an encounter with the sheikh. She never told anybody what it is. She had that encounter with the sheikh at the institute, came home, hijab went out the window, stopped praying, that's it. It's true that has nothing to do with the deen. It has nothing to do with it. And if someone's, this sheikh has this scandal, that's it, I'm not praying. So what's your prayer have to do with it? But some people are just like that. And that's why, may Allah protect us.
You know, I found one of the worst things about bad friends, when you surround yourself with people who make wrong things and they don't care, that they justify for you your mistakes. In my opinion, this is one of the worst things about hanging out with the wrong crowd, because they will always want you to continue to be like them. They will not correct you most of the time. Most of the cases, they will, don't worry about it. Allah ghafur rahim. Don't worry, there's worse than you. You will find hundreds of justifications. So that's, do this, make this, don't worry about it, don't be afraid. May Allah protect us. So if we move to another point, which is important, those who make mistakes are levels, and maybe you can go through this very quickly, but it's important for you to understand the level of the people who are making the mistakes. And I want to say, some mistakes, as I said earlier, can take the person, it's a sin, to the severe sin, that take the person, it's not a mistake anymore, it's a wrongdoing that will take the person out of the fold of Islam. Okay? Like, for example, somebody cursed the Prophet ﷺ, cursed Allah intentionally and don't care. Said somebody, you tell him, Allah said like this in the Quran, and he knows that this is what Allah said. Said, I don't believe in it. That's rejecting the deen. That's kufr. And no joke about that. Okay? So rejecting it after he knows that this is what Allah wants. And he said, I know alcohol, it is haram, but you know what? I don't care, and alcohol is good, and you know what? That's not true, and you know, this is maybe something old, and whatever. He could have rejected it. He's not someone drinking alcohol, and no, it's sin, it's haram. No, somebody changed the deed. That's kufr. Okay? Somebody said, you know what? I'm going to marry non-Muslim. As a woman, Muslim woman, not allowed to marry non-Muslim. I'm marrying, I don't care about religion. That's not any more sin. She said, I believe it's halal, it's okay. I said, A'udhu billahi kufr, that's not Muslim anymore. Inshallah, pray every day, 5 times a day. And that's serious, that somebody have to be understand that the seriousness of these kind of sins. So that's one level, that's the most severe level. There is another level, which is a mistake that considers a sin, and you will be sinful for it. Another one, which is a mistake, you will be rewarded for it. Huh? A mistake, I make something wrong, and I get reward for it? Yes. Which is you try your best, based on the knowledge that you have, and you find out that was wrong. Somebody give you fatwa, and you've been doing this salah all your life, and somebody tell you, by the way, that's not how you pray, that's wrong. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you for your ijtihad, for your following that opinion of the scholar. You will get reward for that. Okay? And you will be forgiven because of you don't know or because somebody made a shida. I give fatwa, for example, about something in the past, and I realized that I was mistaken. I don't think I get a sin because when I gave that fatwa, I did it based on my research, and that's my ability. That's what the Prophet ﷺ said. But the fourth category, which is important, a person who will not be sinful and will not be rewarded, which is someone do ijtihad, and he try his best, but based on ignorance. Someone has no knowledge. Someone never studied Sharia. And he said, Ya Allah, I think it's this way. Yeah, that's no reward for such a person. قال قال لا سبحان قال لا ثواب في خلاف السنة. There is no reward when you make something against the sunnah, because it's not based on evidence, based on anything like that. Yes.
What about when you say first, I don't want to give a fatwa, but, and then you give a fatwa. Is that acceptable?
No. Like no buts.
It's like what everyone does. One time, this is when you know you failed at a lecture, right? I gave a Jum'ah khutbah about speaking about Allah without knowledge and what have you. Then after the khutbah, this was in Virginia, so I'm not accusing anyone here. We gathered in a circle like this, and when someone asked a question, and I said, I don't know the answer. And someone right there said, I don't want to give a fatwa, but, and he gave the fatwa. So I knew I didn't do a good job.
You know, when Sheikh Walid says about the weights of sin, like sins are different levels, one of the things that we actually have to consciously do is restructure those weights or recalibrate those weights according to the Sharia, not according to broader society. So for example, if I ask you, in American context, what is the greatest sin? The greatest of all sins, what is it? What's the greatest sin that a person commit? Shirk, mashallah. Look at you guys. In the American context, really? That's the greatest sin? What is the greatest everyday sin that people commit or can commit? Huh? Judging people close, I would say it's racism. The original sin, this is the one that people get fired for, this is the one that hashtags come, right? Or, but is that close to being the greatest sin in Islam? Look at the way that people respond to a racist act versus the way that people would respond if a person makes a statement that is kufr. If a Muslim figure, a Muslim celebrity or what have you, makes a statement that is kufr, they will still be invited to many conferences. They'll still be on the speaker's token. They won't be harmed. People won't bat an eye. There'll be no hashtag campaign for that individual. But if a person breaks any of the cardinal sins or cardinal laws of liberal America in 2021, there will be a campaign and there will be such incredible emotional response from the Muslim community. And that's why it's important that, and even it becomes retroactive. And so we've seen cases where a person will read in the books of the, like, early Muslim history, great scholars of Islam, and they'll read a line that could be understood to be, for example, have some prejudice. And this becomes a challenge to their very faith, because they say, how could this person be of the knowledge that he has and make this statement? Well, who said, I mean, how could their righteousness not have protected them from this sin? Their righteousness was to protect them from the sin of shirk. That's the greatest sin for them to be protected from. And then any other human mistakes are to be put in their proper place at their proper weight. And I think that's very important that we be consciously aware of.
I got a story about that. This there was this booklet. It had some of the scholars from the early, from the Tabi'een. So there was a chapter on Ata ibn Abi Rabah. And a sister came to me, she said, I'm very offended by this book. I said, why? She said, did you see how they described Ata? That he had a flat nose, that he was black and lame, and something like, I don't know, small ears, or something like that. I said, do you know why they described him like that? She said, why? I said, because he had a flat nose, he was lame, he was black. It's like there's nothing racist about a description. And if you describe me as extremely handsome, I'm not going to get upset. It's what's funny?
Okay. That's a very good point. One other thing that I want to say also is the issue of the mistake of a scholar is not, I want to make this clear, it's not like the mistakes of non-scholars. You know, somebody's role model, the parent's mistake is not like any other one. The sheikh, the teachers. And I want to tell you, if you became Sufyan al-Thawri, his mother came and she cleaned his clothes and she said, Ya Sufyan, أنت الآن تكتب الحديث ينظر إليك. Now you are a student of knowledge. You collect the hadith. You can't play outside like this anymore. You can't dress like this anymore. People look at you, looking at you, taking you as a role model. So that comes with responsibility. You have to understand that. And I tell you guys, all of us as Muslims, I know sometimes can be a burden, but it's not, don't look at it as a burden, take it as an opportunity for you to grow and to be strong. You know, a lot of people as Muslims, Muslim will be putting under the microscope and like their actions will be basically scrutinized way more than others. And unfortunately, that's not right and fair, but I think always this is the reality. But I think this is an opportunity for me, you know what, to drive better. You know, if I'm wearing hijab, I want to make sure that I don't cut people off and stuff like that. That's an opportunity for me to be a better person, to, you know, to watch what I do more. Because I became a person who people look up to.
Sheikh, I knew someone, whenever they're late and they know they're going to drive aggressively, they take the they take their kufi off immediately. And so, like, I don't want to represent the deen while I'm doing this.
One of the individuals when we're talking about being aware of people's levels and is new Muslims, and when you see the incredible flexibility that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had with new Muslims, I remember one time, you know, an uncle complained to me and he said, you know, there's this sister who, you know, my daughter gave shahada to and she went to the masjid. And she's like her first time praying and she had nail polish and sisters who didn't know her were coming up to her saying, your salah is not accepted, sister, your salah is not accepted. Like, he's like, calm down. Like, this is, she's an abbot. And so I remember talking to Sheikh Urid about it. And he was like, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when people would come to him saying, I can't read al-Fatiha. Give me something. I can't read al-Fatiha. Like, if someone came up to you and said, I can't read al-Fatiha, what would you say? Yes, you can. 7 verses, you can learn them.
And he's an Arab.
And the man's an Arab, and he's like, I can't read al-Fatiha. Tell me something that I can read in my salah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him, he says, say subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, say that. That'll be enough for you. And then the man says, this is for my Lord, what about for me? Like, he still wants from the benevolence of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him to say, oh Allah, forgive me and have mercy on me, warzuqni, and provide for me and guide me. And he snatches them out of the air. Like, the Prophet ﷺ tells him what to say, and he grabs one, and then he tells him what, and he grabs one, he grabs them, and then he walks away, and the Prophet ﷺ says, أَمَّا هَذَا فَقَدْ بَلَيْ أَيْدَيْهِ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ. This person has filled his hands with goodness. Like, just the incredible flexibility. And this is incredibly important. Why? Because I get messages until yesterday of a person wanting to accept Islam, and they're like, but I want to wear hijab first. And I'm like, you don't need to wear hijab first. But I want to, they're afraid of committing sins after entering into Islam. You're human, there's no scenario. And yes, we'll tell you when you accepted Islam that in this moment you are sinless and you are the most pure person in this room right now, which is true, but you're not going to be like that forever. And you can't let the sins that you commit after accepting Islam make you feel overwhelmed or despair from the mercy of Allah. This is our condition, we're all human, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy overwhelms all of us. You don't let any sin make you despair from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. It's important that we communicate these things.
Said, you burn yourself with mistakes, then you pray dhuhr and you wipe it out. Then you burn yourself with tahtariqun tahtariqun sahih Muslim. Then you pray asr and wipe it out. You come fresh again.
Yeah.
Very good. Well said. This new Muslim, there's a lot of stories to be said about that, man. I have tons of stories.
Share us one, Sheikh.
Once in a masjid, in one of the masjids in Houston, a sister was coming and she was praying. She was wearing with short sleeves in the line. Another sister came and grabbed her. Oh, you pray like that? And she was not like cover, like, you know. You, this and this. And the girl was so scared. You know, you're coming to a place that's not your place. You're scared. And she said, I'm sorry. I was coming to accept Islam after this whole sermon finished. So I thought maybe I'll pray to see how it feels. You know? Or don't take this example. Take another example. Sometimes, somebody comes to me and said, Sheikh, I committed adultery. I drink alcohol. And sometimes the wife came and told me, my husband did this, drink. I said, yeah, your husband is a new Muslim. It's not out of his system yet. Just give him a break. Another break, I approve what he said. But he help him to get rid of it. It's not easy. You know, so a mistake. Somebody, like one brother was talking in the masjid, and I said something in the khutbah was so powerful. Then he said, hallelujah. The Jumu'ah, you know. I was like, thank you. You know, it's still there, you know. Or, oh, Jesus, you know. Yeah. So it's still there. So you know what? It's going to take time. It's just somebody new. Yeah. Sheikh, you have something to say?
Yeah. We're on here. We're on four, right?
Yeah.
Listen, I'll type. Yeah. When, you know, this whole thing of show your colors, it's who you are, Musharraf, this nonsense when it comes to mistakes and sins. So our guidelines, like when you have a calamity, when you're afflicted with something, when you have a flaw, you cover it up. You don't make it public to the world. That's one. Number two, of the worst things someone can do, and the Prophet ﷺ mentioned this in the hadith, of people who commit a sin at night, and Allah conceals that sin. Nobody knows about it. They come in the morning, and they tell everyone about it. And now, mashallah, people post it. And I know of Muslims who committing a sin, taking a selfie, and then they post it on their page. But you're supposed to hide the sin and not reveal it to everyone.
So those who, when you look at people who are making mistakes, you have to differentiate between someone who make it openly and someone who make it privately.
Absolutely.
Same thing even with bid'ah. Somebody openly practice the bid'ah, calling people to bid'ah, and someone
who just
between him and himself and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Well said. I think the next point will be, when you make a mistake, how you deal with yourself. You know, because it's important to make sure, before you even talk about others, when you make a mistake, you go back to yourself with what?
I think the first thing when a person makes a mistake is confessing to it, meaning that a person acknowledges that they made a mistake, if it has to do with the right of somebody else or if it has to do with the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, have you guys ever met somebody who never apologizes?
Yes.
So you have people who proudly wear these t-shirts that say things like, to save time, let's just assume that I'm always right. It's like, do you really, really feel like you're always right 100% of the time? Like, aren't you a human being? Can't you? I've lived with you for 20 years or 30 years. You can't acknowledge once. We've been friends for 30 years. You've never acknowledged once that you've made a mistake. How could you possibly? But, you know, I read something once that was really interesting on this notion of apologizing. When a person doesn't apologize, it's possible that it could be pride. Obviously, that's the obvious one. But it could also be a complete insecurity. Because that person, if they admit to the fact that they've actually fallen short of what their expectations or what they think your expectations of them might be, right? They've fallen short of the ideal projection of themselves. Then they feel like their self-worth is up for grabs. And that desire for external validation makes them feel like they always have to protect themselves and their image. But if a person is completely secure, then they understand that their self-worth is not going to be diminished by them accepting their human shortcomings. You know what? I made a mistake. I'm going to dust myself off. I'll apologize. This is not what I expect from myself or what you should expect from me, and I'll be back next time, and I'll be better, right? Their self-worth is not tied to external validation, and hence they're able to apologize. But this notion of whether it's apologizing to others or whether it is admitting to yourself in a moment that you fell short is incredibly important.
One time, one of the dumbest people I've ever met in my life bought this shirt that said, let's do it your way, the stupid way. Anyways, I thought that was hilarious. Like, how could it be dumber than whatever it is you do in your life? The point is, there is when people justify the sin or committing the sin or why they did it, it's so damaging. If I justify why I did something and why it's okay or maybe it was all right to do it, how am I ever going to repent from it? How am I ever going to recognize that it's a fault and a mistake and an error that I need to repent from? So people come up with all kinds of justifications. And yani, for example, they'll say, like, you know, everybody does this, you know. Or they'll compare their sin to a worse sin. So, like, I only did this drug. My friends, they do heroin. Like, they're worse. So comparing sins like that. Or
marijuana.
Or, yeah, I just didn't want to say marijuana. It was like, but I'll tell you something. One of the worst things also is when someone starts to acquire some knowledge about the religion, and then they use that knowledge incorrectly and in a twisted way to halalify the action, which is really, really bad, really dangerous. Fatwa shopping, all these things, justifications. Oh, I just looked at the images, but you know, it's worse. At least I didn't go out and commit the sin. Oh, that's your justification?
Sometimes people say also, my intention is good. You know, so, Sheikh, my intention is good. So your intention is not enough. It's not good enough to make this mistake okay or correct. I think one of the things that I want to say, you have to be serious with yourself. When you see yourself doing, especially one of these mistakes that has to do with the heart actions like envy, jealous, hatred, you need to be serious to deal with it. You can't just say, okay, you know, tomorrow, you know, maybe later. You have to take it serious and you have to deal with it with the urgency sense, you know? And I want to say that you have to, part of taking it serious, that you know that maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish you for it in the dunya before that. What if I die while I'm doing this? How about if me dying while I'm doing this? How about if this is the last thing I will do in my life? This is serious. I take it serious. You know what? I'm not going to be mediocre about it. And the more serious you take this issue, the more you will be able to change yourself.
And changing yourself, this notion of, you know, one of the ways, obviously, and the greatest is Toba, that a person repents. And something interesting with Toba, when the scholars talk about the pillars of Toba, they talk about commitment to never commit the sin, and they use a word, al-azm, or al-azima, which means to, it's translated a lot as to intend, but it's not to intend, it's to commit to something. When someone is committed, it's different than when someone intends. Like, for example, someone tells you, I'm committed to losing weight. I need to do it. I want to get healthy and I want to do this and I want to do that. And you're like, cool, we're going to Friday Night Lights. They're like, yeah. After Isha, you pray Isha, and you're like, so what do you want to do? They're like, I want to go get some burgers. And then you go get some burgers, and they order the large fries, the Parmesan truffle fries with the large soda, and they're sitting there, and they're like, man, I really need to lose weight. And you're like, dude, you're not committed. You're not committed. Like, you're talking about it. You've been talking about it for weeks and months or years, but you're not committed. Commitment requires a change in behavior. And so when a person is saying, I'm repenting from talking to the girls, the guy who's flirting and taking girls out to lunch and stuff like that, what does commitment look like? Commitment may look like you changing your phone number. Commitment may look like you going off of social media. Commitment may go to the level, or a person, depending on how serious it is, it can go to the level of changing schools. And I've known people who have changed schools because of falling into fitna at the university. But that's how serious their repentance was. And you all know the story of the man.
In family relations.
And I mean, it changing whatever is required to get to that desired result. That's one of the pillars of repentance as well.
Can we move to the next point, Sheikh, which is now we know what to do with the mistakes, the level of the people who make mistakes. We know about the nature of the mistakes, how to deal with myself. And there's a lot of other points, but we have to move quickly because we have maybe 10 minutes, Max, to wrap it up. With dealing with people who are making mistakes, what are the guidelines, what are the tips when it comes to dealing with those who make mistakes? What advice did you have? What points that is important to be recognized here?
Some of them we kind of mentioned. We said, first of all, look at whether the person, the person did this and he is, what's the level of the sin, first of all? Is it very serious? When you're going to deal with someone, how serious is it? And how low is it? Is this person openly talking about it, boasting about it? Is someone concealing the sin, guilty about it? Those kinds of things. The other thing that's important, is this their first offense or not? There's a huge difference between someone who does something all the time and falling into it for the first time. There's a very nice story about this. At the time of Umar ibn Khattab, when he was the Khalifa, a woman came to him. He said, my son stole. And she's kind of trying to intercede for him with Umar radiallahu anhu. She said, my son stole and it's the first time. So Umar, before even seeing the boy or the young man, he said, wallahi, Allah will not expose him from the first time. And from the first time, Allah's going to expose him like that. So he went to the boy, to the young man, spoke to him, and the man admitted that he had stolen 21 times before that. So there's a huge difference between a repeat offender and a first-time offender. That's something to bear in mind.
Nice. For me, one of the points I want to keep in mind, you can say multiple ones because there's a lot of points here, but just feel free. Quick point. One of the things that I, when it comes to dealing with someone who's making mistakes, I want you always to differentiate between the persons and the actions. And I mean by that differentiation, you know, because this also can be stretched in a way that not correct. But what I mean by that, I mean that, you know, don't let that mistake judge the person completely. You know, not to X the person. This action is wrong. This is not correct. This is haram what he did. But you know what? He's still a Muslim. He's still a brother. He's still someone that there is good in him or her. So don't judge him just by this one or two, or even if it's a big mistake. And similar to this, I want you always to differentiate, because when you deal with people's mistakes, you have to differentiate between what your reactions. It is because of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the right of Allah violation, or it is because there is something personal. And there is a beautiful example from the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ, once a man came to him and he grabbed him to the extent that people saw the marks on the Prophet's neck. And he said, yeah, Muhammad, I need help. Help me. He asked him for charity. But he was so rude. Okay? So in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sahaba came to attack the person. He said, no, don't worry. The Prophet smiled to him and he said, okay, no problem. Give him what he wants. Or he ordered charity to be given to him. That is because this person's violation was personal. It just was not a nice way to talk to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Something personal. But look at the reaction of the Prophet ﷺ in another incident. When a man said, okay, when he says that Allah and Messenger, whoever disobeyed him, he said, don't make me equal to Allah. When a man said, ya Muhammad, be fair and just in how you distribute. I didn't distribute for my own. That's how Allah ordered me to distribute the war booty. When the person's violation was related to the Sharia, in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his reaction was not that smile and mild and let go. He said, no, that's wrong. Who will be fair and just if I'm not? So we have to, and many times, we get so angry because I personally, yani you get angry at your kids. Okay? Not because he made a mistake. You angry because you feel he didn't listen to you. You're angry at him because of personal. I feel humiliated. I feel not respected. Has nothing to do with the mistake itself. And so many times, it became like about personal thing. And that's a very critical issue when it comes to dealing with people's mistakes and the people who commit mistakes, in my opinion.
One of the important factors, very important factors, for you to be aware of your relationship with that individual and their relationship to you, your age to that individual, their age to you. Are you younger? Are you older? Are they older? Are you younger? Are you senior? Are they senior? Like all of these things. And the example I always like to give is that if you're correcting a person, you will still correct them, but you use different tools from your toolbox depending on who that person is. So for some people, you can use a hammer. Who can use a hammer with? Maybe it's somebody who's younger. Maybe it's someone who's a family member of mine who's younger than me, who I have that rapport with, where and who knows better, depending on their knowledge and what I can expect from them. I had a brother one time in the masjid. He had attended a conference that was very, very, you know, heavy on this notion of criticism. And so he came back and he was full with this idea of criticism. And he told me, he said, didn't a man come to Abdullah ibn Umar and he said, I love you for the sake of Allah. And Abdullah ibn Umar said to him, and I hate you for the sake of Allah. And the man was shocked. And Abdullah ibn Umar told him, and he said, it's because you make the adhan like the adhan of singers. And so Abdullah ibn Umar was harsh with him. I mean, the man said, I love you for the sake of Allah. He said, I hate you for the sake of Allah. So this guy, this, and he was like 21 at the time. I said, listen, man, Abdullah ibn Umar at that time is a senior figure in the Muslim world, senior scholar. He's someone who, if he speaks, everybody will change their behavior, especially that man who's coming, declaring his love for him. But if you're a 20-year-old kid at the masjid, if somebody comes and says, I hate you and you say, I hate you for the sake of Allah, they're going to say, well, I hate you too. And let's go outside and settle this.
That would be nice. Yeah. I would say something else.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, I hate you too. Let's go outside and talk about how we hate each other. Like, you're not going to get the same response. So you have to be cautious, very careful as to what relationship you have with that individual. Al-Hassan and Hussein, you know, they were younger at one point in time, and there was an old man who was making wudu. They can't walk up to him and simply say, uncle, you're making wudu wrong. You have to be cognizant of how that will come across. And so in a brilliant way, they come up to him and they say to him, you know, uncle, we're both trying to compete to see who makes wudu better. And so one makes wudu perfectly and the other one makes wudu perfectly, and the man is watching them both. And so they were able to teach him without correcting him. And he said, both of you made wudu perfectly. It was your uncle that was making wudu wrong, right? Giving people the ability to save face. These are all different manifestations of how a person can correct behavior depending on your relationship with them.
It's important that you're coming with a very sincere and very clean intention, and your job isn't to seek out people's flaws, which again, people, this is what they think it's about now, exposing people. And people think they have a responsibility to warn the ummah from this individual. No, you don't. You don't have any responsibility. Who are you that you have a responsibility to warn? Who made you the gatekeeper? Who died and made you in charge of guarding the sunnah? People always do that kind of stuff. Like, we have a duty. I always tell young people, the only duty you have is preceded by the words call and of. And the game is on pause at home. Don't come to me like you're the keeper of the sunnah and the protector of the ummah and all that stuff. So not seeking out people's flaws, you know? Because you don't really benefit from that. You know what? One of the scholars, he said, Wallahi, inna Allah lam yas'alaka lima lam tal'an Fir'aun. He said, Wallahi, Allah will not ask you on the Day of Judgment, why didn't you curse Fir'aun? Right? And he says, wa innaka law la'anta ash-shaytan فَإِنَّكَ لَا تُؤْجَرْ. And if you curse the shaitan, you don't get reward. True or false? يعني if I sit down, Allah يلعن إبليس, Allah يلعن إبليس, do I get reward for each one? يعني? Nothing. So if I don't benefit from cursing the worst human being and the worst being, what ajr do I think I get from exposing a believing man or a believing woman?
Quick points as well. Don't exaggerate the mistake. This way or that way. What I mean by that? Don't make it too big and don't make it too little. Because exaggeration can be both ways. Oh, don't worry about it. It's nothing. No, it's haram. It's major sin. It's shirk. You know, sometimes we belittling it, exaggerate this way, or a'udhu billah, and he makes it like as if he did the sin, that there's no sin after that. Don't exaggerate. Make sure that you are fair. Another point quickly, make sure that we learn how to cover people's mistakes. Yahi, when you see someone made a mistake, you don't expose them. You don't go out to public. That's not the first reaction. Man satara Muslim, man satarahu Allah. If you cover a Muslim, Allah cover your mistakes. Somebody told me, Sheikh, I caught, you know, for example, my spouse, wala my son, wala my spouse, especially happen a lot, caught them doing this haram, evil, major sin. You know, Sheikh, I didn't tell anyone. Okay. Are you supposed to? He thinks that he's doing a favor by not telling anyone. That's the basics. You're not supposed to tell anyone. Today with the social media, just put it out there, and you know what? We caught him, and people go and dig and investigate and put reports about people's mistakes from years and so on. It's just crazy. Again, we've been asked to cover people's sin. Only you expose it in front of judge, only for people who directly involved with this person, not with the whole world. And I think also one of the points, it's important, sometimes we try so hard to prove that you're wrong. Yeah, I will find any excuse or any way to prove you're wrong. That's also not correct. That shows that the intention is not correct. Remember, it is more important to win people than to win your points. So when you deal with people's mistakes, it's not about making you, oh, you're dead wrong. It's not about making them corner them to make a mistake. No, winning people is more important. And we have to keep that. And again, that goes back to the beautiful point that Shakama said earlier, is the issue of intention. It's branch out from that principle.
Of the important aspects with regards to mistakes also is that you don't, through your correction of a mistake or behavior, that you don't bring a greater harm or a greater munkar. So, brother is, there's a wedding and there's alcohol being served at the wedding. Some religious brothers decide that they're going to go and crash the wedding and crash the alcohol at the same time. So they go and they crash it, and while they're there, since they're there, they might as well destroy the stage also so that there's no music instruments played and stuff like that. So the family arrives and everybody, huge commotion, and you know, curses start getting flung at these religious guys and their beards and all of that type of stuff. Curses escalate to not just being curses at the guys, but curses of the deen, and in anger, cursing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? And so now, that munkar of alcohol has been broken, but what was invited is the cursing of the religion and the cursing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is a greater munkar. So you have to be careful not to, in a person's challenging of munkar, bring rise to an evil that is even greater.
Some people leave Islam because the way you correct them.
Yep.
It's just a funny story that I used to always tell in the da'wah class. This young man, he started becoming practicing. So, it's a true story. So, he comes in, and his siblings are watching TV, some movie, and maybe there was a scene that was inappropriate. So, he understands from the hadith that you change the munkar with your hand. He broke the TV. His father comes home from work. He sees the TV that he paid money for broken. He said, "What happened to the TV?" They said, "Your son broke it." So, he brought his son. Now, you know what region this is. You know where they were, the iqal, that rope. He took that and he started whipping the boy. And while he was whipping him, the boy kept saying, "Ahadun ahad, ahadun."
Yeah, I think that he's like, oh, this companion is just, I mean, he should not whip them, him.
Yeah, he should not whip him. Yeah. He should have used a stick, something solid.
No, he should not hit
kidding,
him.
No, kidding.
At all. You know, even I have a reservation in the word that you used earlier, hammer. We don't use hammer. I do believe any physical punishment only should be done by government, not by...
I didn't mean a physical hammer.
No, I mean you don't feel hammered, but also, I just want to make... I know what you mean, yeah. Not hammer, actual hammer. But I mean, to be very strong, because the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Ma nuzi'a ar-rifqu bi shay'in illa shana." Anytime you not have... And that's my point. Anytime you see somebody have a mistake, remember the Prophet ﷺ said, "Inna Allah yu'ti 'ala rifq ma la yu'ti 'ala al-'umf." Allah will give in gentleness what you will achieve in gentleness what you will not achieve in harshness. Yani being harsh will not make you achieve what you want to correct people. The more you are gentle, the more you're nice, the more you are, you know, soft, it's more effective than anything else you can think of, especially when it comes to correcting people, changing people. Another point, make dua for the person who make a mistake. Yani, subhanAllah, we forget about making dua for our brothers. Umar ibn Khattab, when he was told about someone who qila lah ahlakahu sharab, he drinks a lot and he doesn't come anymore. Umar, this is in Medina. Umar radiallahu anh, he said, "Let's pray for him." He prayed for him. And he wrote for him a nasiha. And that led me to the third point. When you know someone make a mistake, please have the courage to advise the person. Not to just to leave. Wallahi, we know, you know your friend doing drugs, you didn't talk to him about it. You know that your friend's dating and you didn't talk to them about it. You know your friends don't pray Fajr and you never talk to them about it. Your son, you know that your son doing haram and you didn't talk to him about it. Your husband, you're right. Not every point, but at least give an advice. Nasiha. Sheikh bin Baz, rahimahullah, had a group from people from Sudan came. Sheikh Jafar told me the story. So they stayed with the Sheikh bin Baz. He's a great scholar in Saudi Arabia, passed away a long time, rahimahullah. So anyway, among the Sudani delegate, there was a scholar or a scientist, professor at university, is Christian. So they said, and Sheikh Jafar told Sheikh bin Baz, Sheikh bin Baz blind. He said, we have a Christian person. In Arabia, in Saudi Arabia, in Riyadh, maybe Sheikh bin Baz never had a non-Muslim come to him as a visitor or something like that. He never get, the environment is very different there. So anyway, so he said, Sheikh, yani, please be careful, be aware of it. For whatever reason, Sheikh bin Baz did not understand exactly what Sheikh Jafar trying to say. So after everybody introduced themselves, and this Sudani Christian have an Arab name. So Sheikh bin Baz said, so who's the Christian among you? There are a bunch of professors and ministers. And he said, so who's the Christians among you?
Yeah.
So he said, that will be me, Sheikh. He said, Ta'rif, you know Arabic? He said, yes. He said, have you read what Allah said? Then he started reciting some Surah An-Nisa, Surah Maryam, Surah Ali Imran. Verses after verses about Maryam and about Isa and what we believe in Jesus and what Quran. Okay? Then after that, you know, they ate and everything went. Then one of them, after the meeting finished, we're so sorry. I hope Sheikh did not yani embarrass you. He said, embarrass me? He said, is Zolda? He said, this guy? He's the first one to tell me about Islam. And I've been living among you guys for 50 years or 60 years. He's the first one to tell me about that. And I really appreciate what he did. So sometimes we learn how to give nasiha. I see someone doing something wrong. Give him advice. But remember what Allah said, وَذَكِّرْ إِن نَفَعَتِ الذِّكْرَ. You give advice when you know it will benefit. Time, appropriate way. And that can be another, inshallah, Friday nights we talk about the etiquettes of nasiha.
You know, a friend of mine yesterday, was talking to me, and he shared with me a beautiful gem about just corrective behavior. He said that his brother had done something and he was infuriated, and he was planning with his mom how to set up a conversation for them to address it with his brother. Like, they would sit in the living room and he would figure out a way to bring up the conversation, and then, you know, him and his mom would let his brother have it. So his mom said, no, I'm not going to do that. And he said, she said something that was so wise that it became something that I've adopted and lived by ever since. And his mom said, no, I'm not going to do that. Everybody deserves to have a person who they know thinks positively of them. Everybody should have a person that they know who thinks the world of them. And I want to be that for my children. I am that for my children. Like, when they think about who thinks well of them, she's like, I want them to know that their mom thinks well of them. And so sometimes correcting behavior is by actually showcasing the opposite and rewarding the opposite. It's by thinking positively of people, praising people when they do things that are well and right. So not only do you develop that rapport and you don't want to disappoint, they don't want to disappoint you, but also that you're encouraging them when they do that which is good behavior, so that you protect them from falling or needing to fall into bad behavior as well.
I always say to parents and to couples who always have like tense relationship, learn how to catch your spouse or your kids doing something right. Don't try to catch them doing something wrong. Catch them doing something right. You know, this good, this right. Have this habit. Let's just go with
the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was the best at that. Bilal, tell me what you do. I heard your footsteps in paradise. What is it that you do? Abu Musa, you've been given a flute from the flutes of David. What is it that, you know, Allah laughed at what the Ansar couple did with their guest, right? The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is always praising them for the actions that they did so that they could do more of it.
What else in regard to changing the mistake, Sheikh. We have only, everybody will have like 1 minute just all right. to wrap it up.
So number one, don't delay in changing it. And sometimes people wait for something dramatic to happen before they make a change. And this is one of the oldest tricks of the shaitan. He's you know, gives you these milestones or landmark. So I'll put hijab on after I go to Hajj, or once I graduate, then I'll start praying, or once I do this. So that's one, and you never know if you'll live until that time or not. So it's one of the old tricks of the shaitan. And like one guy said, like, it's sad that the shaitan keeps tricking us with the same old tricks. If he got you with a new one, it's like, all right, fine, those, I've never heard that one before. But it's the tricks he's been using for thousands of years. So don't delay, don't procrastinate. The other thing is, don't let your pride, your ego, arrogance get in the way of changing. And that is a big obstacle to change. That one story I'll tell about that. When I was in Canada, there were three brothers. They shared the story with us. They said that they, some years ago, they made a pact, the three of them, that they'll always share, always advise one another. So that's not the interesting part of the story. The interesting part is that they said in the beginning, when one of us would come and give another advice, it would hurt and would make you angry at first. And then they said after a couple of days, we got used to it. So a lot of times you present someone with advice in the beginning, they frown, they get angry. One time this guy came to the masjid, he asked for something that was minor shirk, I'm not going to get into it. But as I'm advising him, he is taking huge, gigantic, slow steps backwards as he's saying, uh-huh, uh-huh, and he's moving towards the door. People don't like to hear stuff like that. But you got to push that ego down and accept the advice.
The second thing is giving people time. Like, how many times did people tell you growing up to pray before you finally got your prayers on point? How many times did people tell you what to say or how to or what not to do before you were able to actually correct a behavior? And a lot of times we tell a person once and I advise them and they didn't listen. And give
a million times.
Yeah, a million times. I told them a million times. It's like, let people grow into the person that they're going to be, inshallah ta'ala, and give people that time and give people, understand that these words that you're saying, they're seeds. And inshallah ta'ala, they will grow eventually, but you have to continuously be there in support of that individual.
Also, give yourself enough time for change. Don't expect yourself to be perfect right away. And last point I have in regard to this is make sure you understand. One thing that's so important to understand your own psychology, your own psycho, and understanding where the mistakes come from. What's the root cause of your mistakes? Is it because anger, so I need to work on my anger? Is it because I'm jealous, that's why I behave this way, so I need to work on my jealousy? Is it because I have doubts, maybe because I have depression, that's why I'm behaving this way? Is it because I'm a very emotional person? Maybe because I'm a very dry person. I'm very technical. I need to think about, you know, this is maybe the root cause for this kind of behavior. You know, maybe because, you know, whatever is the issue is. You know, maybe I don't have respect for women. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing. I need to learn how to respect sisters. You know, maybe I need to know, maybe the problem is that I have some false belief. Like, I think that I'm supposed to hate everybody else except, you know, and hate them and can't stand them except certain people. Maybe there is, always try not to focus on the symptoms as much as you focus on the root cause. And one of the beautiful things to help you, consult, ya. One of the things that help a lot and change, ask for someone to give you nasiha. You know, to give somebody, to help them. Imam Ahmed rahimahullah, and he really praised Al-Qasim salam because he only came to give him nasiha and to give him support. He crossed the river to meet him. You know, it is so important. Rahim Allah man ahda ilayya ayubi. May Allah's mercy give it to someone who give me my show me my mistakes. Okay? So this is seek the advice. And I wanted to keep that in mind. Mistakes can be an individual level, but worse than that, when it is collectively. When the mistakes done in the level a systematic mistake. That's worse. Like for example, you know what? We know that we have a problem in the police department in Houston. And I want to share this information with you. Because I sit in an advisory group board to the chief police in Houston. Okay? And there is a group of people, I wasn't directly involved with those other group, who did a reform to, or a review over the police policies and system with regard to basically treating people without prejudice or racism or anything like that. So, you know, that's a systematic problem. It cannot be just an individual. When you look and you see 70% of your arrests are black people, 70% of process case or 80% are black, that's just hypothetical. That's not true in Houston, but just hypothetically. Okay, that means there is a systematic problem. There's a system here that is not correct. It's not anymore just one officer. No, when I have, you know, 50% of my force who go to this neighborhood, all of them not from this neighborhood, there is a problem here. That mistakes need to be changed. Remember, every point we mentioned here can apply to a mistakes in an individual level. Most of these things also apply to the level of what? Of government, of group, masjid, organizations, da'wah movement, and all these levels. And sometimes we remember all these nice advice when it comes to individual, but we don't recognize that also required to be followed all these points and tips when you deal with all these levels of mistake. So one of the things, by the way, in Houston, there is a website. I will put that on our website in the masjid. I will share it with you guys in WhatsApp group. This website actually in a weekly or maybe monthly, I can't remember that now, updated, where you can look how many stops the police did in Houston. And not only that, who's the officer who made the stops? There is a code name for every officer. And when they stopped, who did they stop? And every race, Hispanic, black, you know, Asian, blah, blah, blah. Okay, when they stopped, how many of them got a ticket, warning? How many were processed? How many arrests? Then even you can, inside the website, you can go and check this officer, how many person he stopped the last month, okay? Or in this region, and what's their race, what their gender, what's their, it's because the first step for accountability is what? Is what?
Transparency.
Transparency. So they realize that they have to be transparent with the society, with the community at large. That's a great work. That's take time to help, you know, a change to happen in our society. I hope that this topic should not be limited just to some examples we maybe repeated a lot, but can be taken in a much bigger scale. Start with yourself, going all the way up the ladder. Jazakumullah khair, and I hope, inshallah, to see you guys next week. And next week we'll be talking about 20 years after 9/11. Yeah, reflections. You know, some of you never even witnessed 9/11, but we'll talk about 9/11 next week, inshallah ta'ala. After Salah, we can have some questions, open the floor, inshallah. I have to be somewhere, but the mashayikh will be, inshallah, available. Assalamu alaikum.